Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for the opportunity to come together and celebrate peace in this place and in our lives. I thank you that you are the author of peace. Lord, I pray that as we get into your word this morning, may we go beyond the surface. May your word pierce the surface of our hearts, and may we be transformed. I pray that you might use my words, let my words fall, and let your word reign, Lord. I know that my words can't transform hearts, but your word can change the world. So I pray that we might walk out of here different than we came in, and that we have a deeper understanding of peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in college, I was all about peace. Specifically, my senior year, I was hooked on peace like nothing else. I loved the topic so much. I read books upon books about peace. I wrote part of my capstone senior thesis paper about peace. And even my habits changed to more peaceful things. Instead of waving goodbye, I would give the peace sign. Instead of saying bye, I would say, peace. You guessed it, peace. I was all about peace. I was so much about peace that it annoyed people. So one thing I would do with my roommates is every time that they would get in a fight or an argument or threaten to punch each other or threaten to do this or that, what I'd yell is I'd go, redemptive violence. And redemptive violence, if you don't know what that is, it's the idea that we can use violence to redeem something. And that's just not true. It's wrong. It's not what the Bible says. So every time they'd say, man, I'm going to punch you, I'd scream, redemptive violence. And then I'd go on this big mini sermon about how they need to embrace peace. And in the end, they became pacifists. No, that's not what happened. In the end, they wanted to punch me instead of each other. So, peace. What does peace mean to you, church? I want you to shout out, what does peace mean to you? When I say peace, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Shout it out.
No fighting.
Rest. Equality, heaven, forgiveness. If you could imagine the most perfect, peaceful world, what would it look like? And yet, peace seems like a pipe dream in our world. Peace seems impossible because we live in a world full of war, full of fighting, full of brokenness, full of abuse and hatred and division. And when we tend to think of peace, we tend to think of peace as the absence of these things, right? The absence of hostility. But the Bible, it has a deeper meaning for peace, a deeper understanding of God's peace. You see, we tend to think of peace in a negative sense, in the sense that peace is what happens when there's an absence of hostility. But the Bible looks at it from a different perspective. Does anyone know what the Hebrew word for peace is? Neil, you should know this.
Shalom.
Awesome. Shalom. Shalom is not an absence, but a sense of wholeness and harmony. Shalom could be used to describe what it was like to be in the Garden of Eden. Perfect harmony and wholeness between God and Adam and Eve. And this morning we're going to jump into that deeper meaning of peace as a wholeness of good over an absence of bad. The first thing we need to understand about peace is that peace comes from our peace with God. Ultimately, everything we understand about peace revolves around the fact that we have peace with God. And it makes me think of when I was a child. What would happen is in the summers, we would be told to just go out and play. After lunch, we were told, go out and play. You don't have to come back to dinner. And so that gave us a good 6 or 7 hours to go play in the summer. And often what we do is sometimes we get in trouble. And we used to say this thing right before we do something risky, whether it's slide down a big hill we weren't supposed to, cut through a fence to go in the woods, or have a sword fight with our hockey sticks. We would always say, what's the worst thing that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen? And for as long as humans have existed in the world, the worst thing that could happen is death. That's been our greatest fear. It's the worst case scenario. And as kids, we are like, okay, if no one dies here, it'll be okay, right? It'll be okay. And that's kind of the boundary at which we place doing things, right? If no one dies, it'll be okay, right? Of course, some people came back with broken twos and broken arms. I remember my sister knocked my brother's tooth out with a hockey stick. But no one died, so it's okay, right? Yet we have peace with God. It's because of Jesus we no longer have to worry about that fear. We no longer have to worry about death. And yet I think we tend to stop there. We say, okay, we don't have to worry about a fear of death. But Jesus did so much more. Listen to what Romans says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. You know what that means? It means that everything we experience in life that seems to be a lack of peace, whether it's stress, hatred, or war, it's all caused by sin, right? And that sin is a separation, a brokenness between us and God, and us and our fellow human beings. And yet now, because of what Jesus did, we have peace and wholeness through Christ. And this is our starting point of peace. Peace can't be drawn from a feeling, because my feelings change, probably from the beginning of the service to the end of the service. I'll change my feelings depending on how good this sermon is. Maybe you feel the same way. But this is our starting point, our root for peace. It's peace with God. It means that even though there is brokenness in this world, one day that suffering and brokenness will come to an end. We know that because of what Jesus did. We know that no matter what, even what we're going through now, has an ending point. Now you might be thinking, that's what heaven's about, right? Yeah? And you might be thinking, well, Joe, does that mean we have to die before we finally get peace? Does that mean we have to rest in peace before we get peace? No. Peace and wholeness is something we can experience now. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. I'm going to be reading from the NLT. If you're able, please stand as we read. When you get to Mark 4, 35, please say amen, just so I know everybody's there. And if you're able, once you get there, please stand for the reading of the scripture. Amen? Are we there? Okay. Just making sure we're awake. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started leaving the crowds behind, although other boats had followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it was beginning to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith?" You can be seated. So here we have the disciples on this boat. And I'm going to need your help this morning. We're going to make some sound effects. How does that sound? You guys ready to help me out with the sermon this morning? Okay. This side is going to be the wind, okay? So when you hear me talk about the wind, I want you to just go. Can we do that? Let's hear some wind. Great. This side, you're going to be the waves. So it's going to be like the waves clapping against the side of the ship. So you're going to clap. Can I hear some waves? Okay, thank you. So when I get into the story and I talk about the wind, I want to hear wind and I want to hear clapping. And don't stop until you hear your cue. So the disciples are in this boat and they're paddling along. They're paddling along and all of a sudden a storm comes up and there's wind. A very fierce wind. It's blowing and then the waves start. The waves start, the boats are rocking, the wind is blowing, the waves are going, and the water starts coming in the ship, and it's everywhere, and the boat starts breaking, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The boat is breaking, the waves are coming in, and what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping like a baby, and there's wind, and there's waves. There's utter chaos, and Jesus is sleeping like a baby. So the disciples, as this is all going on, go up to him and yell, "Jesus, wake up. What are you doing? Don't you understand what's going on? Don't you care that we're about to drown? We're going to die, Jesus." And Jesus wakes up and he says, "Silence. Be still." And there's a calm. Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you not trust me?" You see, the winds and the waves and chaos made the disciples forget who they were with. The winds and the waves distracted them from the realization that they were with God incarnate. And don't we do the same thing in our lives? Storms are like crisis moments. The sudden storms come, a crisis moment happens, and all of a sudden there's wind and there's waves. Thank you for your help, everyone. There's a problem in the family, a broken relationship, a sudden health issue. Something goes wrong on the farm and all the cows break out. And all this is happening at once and there seems like to be a storm and chaos just breaks out. The winds and the waves, they come crashing down. How do we respond in crisis moments? We freak out, right? Most of us freak out. We lose our peace. We definitely don't sleep like a baby, right? Jesus was able to sleep like a baby because he trusted the Father. Yet when crisis moments happen in our life, we tend to lose sight of that. We tend to lose trust in the Father. See, we take this, what the story is saying is that because we have peace with God And because we have Jesus, because Jesus is with us, just like he was with the disciples in the boat, it changes everything. We can take this story and apply it to our lives right now, right today. When a storm comes, we go take a nap, right? I thought that was funnier. No, we don't go take a nap. When a crisis situation happens in your life, don't freak out. Don't say, God, you don't care. What are you doing? You're killing me. I can't do this. Instead, I challenge you to ask yourself, can God handle this? Can God handle these winds and these waves? Can God handle this chaos? Can God handle yet another problem coming up in my life? Can God handle this person passing in my life? Can God handle this stress and this situation? Can he handle it? Yes. Is God big enough for these waves? Is God big enough for these problems? Is God big enough for this stress that I'm losing sleep over? Is God big enough? If you take one thing away from this story, is that Jesus is bigger than anything that can even take your life. Can God handle this? Because the answer is always going to be yes. You want to know why? Because he created it all. I got this image when we were flying to Honduras. I was looking out the window. It was either flying or coming home. I forget which. But I was looking out the window, and I was looking down at all the people and the cars moving. I was like, wow, this is just a little tiny portion of God's view. Can God handle this? Next thing you do in a crisis, breathe. Take a deep breath. Then you trust him. You can have a mighty peace in the storms of life. Amen? Amen. You can have a mighty peace in the storms of life. Amen? Remember, when something seems impossible, the difference between impossible and possible is what? The I am God. We have peace with God. We can have peace in a storm. But what about peace in the day-to-day stresses of life? See, sometimes it's really easy for us to have peace in the storm because, you know what, we can't control it. So we just kind of give up and say, okay, God's got this. But when we're faced with day-to-day struggles and things that we can control, they sometimes can get us more stressed than the storm. How do we have peace every day? The theme verse for this year's Peace Sunday is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It reads, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you don't know that verse, it's a great verse. But you know what I don't understand about this verse? Paul writes this verse from prison. He's on house arrest. Let me read it again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He writes this on house arrest. He could be in chains in his own house. A peace that passes all understanding. You see, originally I thought Paul was in prison, but it turns out he probably wasn't. He was probably just on house arrest. But Paul's already been in prison. He knows what it's like to have blocks on your feet that keep your legs apart so you can't walk and run away. He knows what it's like to have chains on his hand up against a wall. He couldn't move or walk. And yet he could talk about peace. He was in chains and he could talk about a peace that passes understanding. And if you look at Acts chapter 16, Paul had this such understanding of this peace that he was thrown in jail, and the same day at midnight, instead of sleeping, he was singing hymns and praises in jail. He had such peace that when an earthquake happened and all the chains broke and the doors flung open and he had what we would identify as peace and freedom to be ourselves and do what we want, that's what freedom and peace is to us. When he had that opportunity, he stayed put. He had such peace that he stayed put. And we find out, if we read Acts chapter 16, Paul did not run away in order that he might save the jailer. Because the jailer wakes up and he sees that the doors are open and he's about to kill himself. Because that's what he would face. But they stayed put. And Paul yells, "Don't worry, we're all here. Don't kill yourself." And through that peace, he's able to save the life of the jailer and his whole family. You see, when Paul writes these verses up here, he's not in a massive crisis. He does face some difficult trials, but he also faces some things we do in his day-to-day life. Yet he held peace every day, day in and day out. And when I read Philippians 4, verse 7, I can't help but reflect, man, I don't have this kind of peace in my life. Do we have this kind of peace, church? A peace that would make us sing in prison at midnight. A peace that we were so rooted in that when we got the chance to be free, we would stay put in prison just to save someone's life. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of peace. Amen? You see, because here's the problem. I can't even drive down 81 without getting annoyed at somebody. Either someone driving too fast, or someone driving too slow, or someone cutting me off, or even this past week getting flipped off by someone. I can't even go down 81 without getting shook. I don't have peace. Yet Paul could be in prison and have peace. Yet Paul gives us a secret to peace in verse 6. I'm going to read it from the NLT because I've been using the NLT in my personal devotions and it's just been really powerful. I can get to the passage because the page stick together. Bear with me. Oh, come on. Okay. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank him for all he has done. How many of you worry? Raise your hand. How many of you worry? Right? We all worry. Paul says, don't worry, pray. Does anyone know that song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy"? Don't worry, be happy. I can't sing. But Paul's saying, don't worry, just pray. That's what we're supposed to do instead of worrying. Talk to God about it. Imagine if we spend half the time praying that we do worrying. For those of you that fall asleep when you pray, you'd have a great night's sleep, right? Imagine if we spend half the time praying that we do worrying. Paul says, don't react. Don't worry. One way that God's teaching me to do this in my own life is not to react to situations and people at Sailors. That's something I've been really struggling with lately because I've been getting some rude customers, some cranky customers, some just weird situations, and I find myself reacting. And I find myself having a customer and them being rude, and then I get upset, right? And I go to my fellow cashier and I say, that guy was so rude. Can you believe what he said to me? And I just get myself more and more upset. And what Paul's saying here is don't worry. Don't react to those customers. Pray. Man, if I prayed for the amount of customers I had that annoyed me, I'd be a whole lot more productive. Probably talk a whole lot more less at work. You see, one thing we can take from this is if we base our feelings, if we base our day on someone else's actions, words, and attitudes, we will never have peace. Right? Because let's say, give an example of Sailors and a customer. If I have a customer that's rude to me, right, and I'm upset about it, by the time I'm upset about it, they're already moved on. They've gone to wherever they need to go. And there I am stuck, worrying instead of praying and not having peace. If you let your day and your attitude be based on someone else's words, actions, or attitudes, you won't have peace. To have a peace that passes understanding, we must give it all to God in prayer. So, church, do we have peace? Sometimes is literally what I wrote down here, Linda. So you're a mind reader. Sometimes, yes. Sort of, kind of, no. Yet when we don't have peace, we know where to go to enter into God's wholeness and rest. God really cares about peace and rest. If you want to read about, look in Hebrews chapter 4. If you want to talk to someone about, Jess would love to talk about it. Jesus is our source of wholeness and rest. Jesus is the author and prince of peace. We need to understand that we have peace with God, we can have peace in the storm, and we can have peace every day of our lives. Now, I don't want to end this conversation here. So next week in Sunday school, we're going to continue the conversation and engagement with peace by talking about creating peace in a broken world and how we can be peacemakers, what it looks like for once we establish peace within our lives, how we can spread it to others. So come to Sunday school next week. It's going to be fun. It's going to be very peaceful. But I want to end, before this ending, with an invitation to go on a prayer walk after church with Jess and I and create some wholeness by picking up pieces of trash along the way and praying for peace in our community. I'm going to close in prayer, and then Sue will come up to do the activity with the tree. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, the author of peace, I thank you that we have peace with you.